Sportscast, August 26, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, Periscope, iTunes, and YouTube. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and review. That is our podcast version. Yes, you can listen to us on iTunes, of course, Stitcher, TuneIn, and not Spotify yet. Spotify is a little bit complicated. Visit us on thesportscast.net for the latest and greatest when it comes to sports news, like going on in the world of sports. And that's why we have this episode. And this episode is brought to you by InstaBible app. You can download the InstaBible on the iOS App Store. A lot going on in sports. We got Messi in soccer that is thinking about going to Man City. Then you got basketball kind of canceling. And then I'm hearing baseball. So not just on the field drama, but off the field drama. And I can't say that anyone can talk like this all about this, but Nick Rossetti, all the way from Austin, Texas. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Santiago, thanks so much. Really excited to be back on with you and on the Sportscast again. To say it lightly, there's a lot to discuss from all the different sports aspects that are going on right now. So really excited to get into it.
Let's start with the Champions League final. Of course, you watched it. I watched it. I actually watched it at a German restaurant, so it was perfect. Bayern Munich won. I was enjoying my schnitzel. Eating my pretzel.
How was your schnitzel?
It was great. And it's funny because they add a cheese sauce. I'm not sure if it's an American thing or a German thing, but I had a good time with it. It was spicy. But what mattered the most was that Bayern Munich won 1-0. It wasn't a lot of goals, but there was a lot of excitement. Nick, what was your overall summary over that final?
Yeah, so as we were, talking pre-show, I mentioned, thankfully, I'm not a betting man, or should I say not anymore, because my prediction of 3-2 could not have been any more wrong. And so my initial thoughts, watching the game and from what I saw is that the teams more or less canceled each other out with their play, mainly in the first half. Things started to open up a little bit in the second half. But I thought the key to the first half, and really the man of the match for me was Manuel Neuer. Some of those saves that he made, both on Mbappe, a few on Neymar in the first half, just a stone wall back there. I was surprised that Bayern had a couple of breakdowns in defense, especially in the first half, as I mentioned, with Mbappe and Neymar. And Neuer stood tall, kept it 0-0 the first half, and then sure enough, as Bayern's offense started to probe in the second, you could almost feel it coming as we got into the 50th or 60th minute that Bayern was about to get one. And sure enough, the former PSG man Kingsley Coman finishes at home after an unbelievable pass from Kimmich on the right side of the box, and that ended up being the final score, 1-0. So overall, my thoughts were surprised at the lack of goals, but not surprised at the performances by the stars, specifically by the best goalkeeper in the world, Manuel Neuer, and ultimately Bayern's victory in the end.
Do you think those two penalties should have been awarded? Obviously, each club had those. Do you think each of those penalties could have been awarded and changed the whole aspect of the game?
I was wondering if penalties were just going to be brought up in this conversation. this is just my preference. I prefer let the guys play. I don't like any of the, to answer your question, I think they both could have been called in pretty much any scenario. But on that stage, especially that type of game, I respect the referee for keeping his whistle in his pocket. And I know it was getting chippy there at a moment, and there was some pushing and shoving, specifically with Serge Gnabry, a couple of times, even when he took down Neymar as well. But overall, I thought it was well refereed, and was happy to see that the no penalty spots were given.
Yes, and I'm actually in full agreement with Nick. I think Manuel Neuer had a couple of one-on-ones with Mbappe, and he just blocked them. I mean, Neuer is the best goalkeeper in the world. I mean, period. And what he showed, Mbappe, which we were talking about a little bit. What do you think about his performance? Do you think he did all he can?
Yeah, to me, he looked sluggish. I don't want to say out of shape, but I understand that was a lot of pressure on him, particularly being a young player, a high caliber player of his talents, really bringing on into the world stage based on the last World Cup in 2018. And French player playing for PSG, I know that's got to be a lot of pressure for him. But I felt like he was sluggish. He was hesitant at times. He had a couple opportunities that really put away a player of his caliber and just didn't. I don't know if he was really in his own head. The pressure of being a homegrown player, playing for PSG, representing PSG in the Champions League final for the first time in quite some time. But overall, I just thought he was sluggish. I really did. Not himself.
How about the whole Neymar crying? Were you feeling some condolences for him?
No.
Are you a Neymar fan? It seems like there's haters and lovers there.
Yeah, I would say I respect the player, but some of his antics, both on and off the pitch, I'm not a huge fan of. But overall, you could see that it meant a lot to him, which I respect. With a player that earns the type of wages that he does, you would hope it would. And I thought overall throughout the game, he played well, showed his form a couple of times, had a couple of good opportunities. But in the end, from my point of view, from the attacking perspective of PSG, I thought Neymar was really their most dangerous player. And that goes without saying in that when you have one player that's on and no real support in the offensive end of the pitch, particularly with the defense that is structured and sound as Bayern, plus the world-class goalkeeper that Neuer is, it was going to be tough to get past them, and he just couldn't break through.
How about Navas? I mean, Navas deserves some credit, but obviously, Koeman shot that goal, but what did you think about Navas' performance?
Yeah, the old guard, right? Navas has been around for quite a long time. I remember when he was playing for Real Madrid.
He's only 32, I think.
Oh, really? Wow. Well,
yeah, but goalkeepers can last 20 years.
Yeah, that's a good point. But that is more, and we'll get to that when we start talking about Messi and some of the things that's going on with him. But getting past your 30s for me, at least from a soccer perspective, is maybe not out of your prime, but you're going in the wrong direction in terms of your age.
Here's my philosophy when it comes.
Navas thought well, overall.
Here's my philosophy when it comes to age and soccer. I think between 27 and 32 is within your prime. That's just my philosophy.
Okay.
Where
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, I would say.
What me, age range for you?
More. Yeah, I would say 25 to 30 is probably about 30, 31, somewhere in there.
Okay, I can agree with that.
And I base that off of the two players that are considered in our age to be the best of the best in Messi and Ronaldo. It's not hard to look up their stats and see that there has been somewhat of a drop off there. Not much, but there has been somewhat of a drop off these past couple of years in their overall performance compared to what they were doing, 3 or 4 years ago.
Now, I've also have a theory that I think Ronaldo and Messi could play in Europe highest level maybe till the age of 39.
Yeah.
Can you see that happening?
I do not see that happening. Well, perhaps Ronaldo, but we can maybe talk about that in a separate episode. But more or less, I think that particularly for Messi and a couple of other guys that are from South America is I feel like they always have a reason to go back home eventually.
Correct.
I always felt that Messi would end up back with his hometown team in Argentina and be playing for, I believe, let me just see here. The team that he grew up playing for before he made it.
Yes, it's Old Newell's Boys.
Old Newell's Boys. Yeah,
yeah, it was a long time ago.
Exactly. Yeah, so but I always thought that he would kind of finish up his career there. A couple of guys, Carlos Tevez, I know, is back for playing Boca Juniors.
Yeah, which he signed a contract extension. I think he's 38. He might play till 41.
Yeah, exactly. So But overall, in terms of their abilities, I have no doubt that they could. Do I think that they will? I do not. I think that same thing with Ronaldo as well. He'll probably finish up with the team in Portugal that he started with.
Or do you see him, either one of the two, going to Inter Miami or any other MLS team?
Yeah. I know that a lot of MLS fans may be disappointed in this. I do not see that for either of them.
Why do you say that?
And this is, again, my own opinion. Everyone bases this on the option of some of these other stars that have come over to the MLS as their careers have ended. You know, the short list, David Beckham, Kaká, Pirlo, David Alaba, et cetera.
Wayne Rooney.
And Rooney, correct, and Rooney, which they didn't last very long. I think that they all came over for a couple of different reasons. I think money was a big motivation for a lot of that. I think particularly for David Beckham, the entertainment industry, being in L.A., you know, there was only one team he was ever going to play for in the MLS.
And one, like two or four MLS Cups, I think, maybe.
Right, right. But his perspective, he's a quiet guy, right? You don't really see him much out in, you know, speaking out in the media. He's not a limelight type of person. So, to me, I don't see him being a match for a club in the MLS that's going to, you know, project him as this, what he is, right?
True. He's a very quiet person. Right. How about Ronaldo? I mean, why not Ronaldo?
Ronaldo, to me, I feel his body is failing him.
You think so?
It's raw. Yeah, I really think that his body's failing him in that extending his career beyond the next couple of seasons, I really don't see it.
He's breaking down.
I think past the 2022 World Cup may be the last time that we see him
internationally.
You know, on an international level, and I believe his club career is going to be coming winding down as well. Just in my opinion, I think that Ronaldo will probably hang up the cleats before Messi, but I think that will be due to injuries or his overall body.
You know, I cannot argue with Ronaldo because I have not seen the Serie A, not because it's on ESPN Plus because it's just $5 a month, but I just haven't seen him. And like the only time I see him is in the Champions League, but he hasn't done well with Juventus going deep. I'm not sure if it's him or it was the manager.
Yeah, and you know what? Juventus, they had a finals appearance a couple of years ago, but overall, they've run through a couple of different managers. Obviously, Gigi Buffon, no longer with the club there. Their long-lasting goalkeeper that had been there for, you know, almost over a decade or more. And so I think they're kind of in a transition period as well. That was a very surprise transfer for me. In terms of Ronaldo going to Serie A in the first place. But overall, you know, I think that he may spend a couple of more seasons and play out the rest of his contract, but I don't see much left in the tank for him in terms of not just the world stage, but a club competition as well.
Before we go on to the next segment, do you think Pirlo is the right man in Juventus?
Yeah, you know what? I respect the hire, but overall, I'm not a huge fan of former players becoming managers immediately, not or at least not too long since their careers ended. Although I will say this, Frank Lampard at Chelsea, I'm not going to say a fantastic job, very decent job so far. Obviously, Chelsea's made a couple of signings coming in here for this transfer window, and
Havertz.
They may be making some noise next year. But, you know, Wayne Rooney, that was kind of the concept for him going back to Derby County as being a player manager. And that's actually where Lampard was before he transitioned to Chelsea as well. So we'll see. But I've heard rumors about Steven Gerrard, too, wanting to become a manager at some point. But
yeah, I heard that very strong.
I'm not a huge, huge proponent of former players, especially those that were very successful in their careers. And I think that goes with almost any sports league. I mean, look at Wayne Gretzky as a coach, not a great record. There's something that the greats in all of their respective sports, they see the game in a way that other players just can't see. And it's hard to portray that from a coaching perspective, in my humble opinion.
I agree. You know, it's funny you say that because I do think a player needs to have at least 1 year of coaching experience. Pirlo has none. I know that Lampard was a year at Derby County. The one coach that I really thought that would do well but didn't do well was Brad Friedel. And I know his first job was in New England, but he just didn't do well. And plus, he was going through coaching for the past couple of years. Well, maybe not. I don't remember. But I know he has some experience with coaching.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, a couple of other national leading players, and I've heard rumors about, I believe Boca Negra's on the staff with Atlanta FC.
Yeah,
and
that's going to come. That's going to happen.
Yeah, that's going to happen eventually as yeah. well. And a couple of
Landon other options, Donovan is coaching for, I think, a second division team in San Diego.
Yeah, or like a – I thought he was maybe coaching an indoor team or
It could have been
like
third. Yeah, it's
well.
Really low. It's not yeah. that sexy. And he's probably not collecting a paycheck for it either, probably.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but and I can see that too, right? Because once you retire, players always talk about how much they miss the game. And particularly from Landon's perspective, you know, there was a couple of retirements out of retirement, out of retirement options. Because
that last one with the Galaxy, because he retired twice or three times, went to was in Galaxy, retired in 14. They came back like a year later, went back with the Galaxy, retired, and then he went back to play for Lyon or some team in Mexico.
Lyon, yeah, and then he actually had a small career with the San Diego Sockers, which is in the indoor league, the Baltimore Blast, local team actually in that same league. So,
plus he's a partial owner of Swansea City.
Right. Yes, I did know that. Yeah,
I think like 10% or 6%.
Yeah.
You know,
so who knows?
Yeah. But I'm glad that he's doing something. Like, he's not going broke or anything. He's definitely doing some coaching. Also did some commentating for Fox Sports at times. And, of course, he's doing some coaching. But we'll see. Maybe he's not a good coach. He could have been at the MLS by now. I don't know what's going behind the scenes. But Landon does have a trophy called the MVP trophy after Landon Donovan MVP trophy for the MLS. So that's something. He's definitely making strides. Anyways, to our next segment, we touched up a little bit about Messi and about his age, but the biggest news in the soccer world, or at least in Europe, that he told Barcelona no more. He's out, which he has that clause. It's totally legal. He's allowed to leave. And then rumors circulated. He told Barcelona yesterday that he was leaving. Then today, the rumors were growing stronger. Man City, it's getting stronger. Nick, you got the word on this.
Yeah, so what I loved your intro there in terms of, and let's start with, is it legal? So let's start with the clause in the contract. So his contract goes through next year. However, he does have a clause in his contract to where he could have opted out this summer. That clause was supposed to be either told yes or no on June 10th. That's how it's written in the contract. Now, what Messi's lawyers are going to argue is that contract was supposed to be notified as in the end of the season. And obviously with everything going on with coronavirus, the season didn't actually end until August. And so that he should still be able to exercise that part of the contract. Now, it's all going to be, you know, coming up against, you know, he said, she said, from a legal perspective. This is why I'm not so sure this is going to be easily. I don't know how well this is going to go down.
So you don't think he's going to transfer out anytime soon?
I do think that there, one, is going to be a legal battle. I think this has been brewing for a while in terms of Messi and his discontent with the organization, the leadership team that's in place at Barcelona. And Barcelona has already come out and said multiple times this year that they're struggling financially. They owe a lot of high-paying players, a lot of players that are making a lot of money, and they're looking to shed salary because they just didn't make as much money, obviously, as any other professional sports team did this year. So really, from a financial perspective, Messi leaving could be a benefit to them. However, obviously, he's the iconic player. He's been there since he's 13. You know, the fans would crucify them if that's actually what happened. They let him walk. So I don't think they're going to go down without a fight. So the whole idea that Messi's leaving on a free transfer, I do not see that at all. I do see that they're going to challenge that from the legal contract perspective to allow him to leave. Now, you did say he wants to leave. How much of that is a tactic of he's not happy with the squad as it currently stands, and how much is it a tactic of he actually wants out? You know, think of it
as a good question as a negotiation. He's trying to bluff. Yeah.
Exactly. So he's been there since 13, right?
Good point.
He met his wife there. His family's from there. His kids have grown up there. It's where he'll live when he's done playing. You know, he's threatened to leave before, and it was more or less a challenge to leadership to say, hey, I don't like where this team is going. And especially now, as I go to the cusp of my career, you know, realistically, what do I have? 3-4 years left to win another Champions League. I may have one more World Cup. I get what he's saying. I get his premise of put some urgency into this team because I need to win now. I need to further establish my legacy. You know, look at Barcelona's roster, right? Look at all these guys over the age of 30, just to name a few.
There's a lot.
Arturo Vidal, yeah. Pique, Jordi Alba, Ivan Rakitic, you know, all these core.
There's six players that were at the 2015 final for the Champions League. That's a lot of players.
Exactly. All these guys over the age of 30. So Barcelona's overall core is age-wise is going in the wrong direction. And whether it's, you know, some of the other rumors that have come out, the you know, wanting to bring Neymar back and they didn't, and wanting to sign Suarez long-term, I think it's all come to a boiling point. And he finally realized that, hey, I need to create my own urgency here. But in my humble opinion, I don't see him going anywhere. I really don't.
Good point, Nick. I think you're the only guy who's been saying this. Who has said this all day? I have not heard anything about bluffing. You make a good point. I totally agree with you. This could happen.
And think about this too. This is my other opinion on it, right? So all these rumors around Man City make sense. Pep Guardiola, you know, his former manager at Barcelona, they won all these trophies there, Champions League, La Liga, etc. How many times has Man City made it to the Champions League final in the last 5 years?
Zero.
10 years, or at least since Pep's been there.
Zero point zero.
If your goal is to win right now, why go to Man City? Why? They haven't proven anything. So if you're going to leave and you're going to leak rumors about where you're going, and obviously Man City is the easy choice, I just don't see it. I think if I were Messi and I truly wanted out, I wanted to go somewhere else. Number one, it wouldn't be for money motivation. So that automatically rules out China and the MLS or the Middle East or any of those other aspects where we'll pay you a bunch of money to, you know, be the face of this league. I see it as a way of he realizes that he has a short window to win. He wants to establish his legacy a little bit further. And, you know, if winning is the most important thing, why not go to Juventus, team up with Ronaldo and try to win something?
I've heard that rumor too today. I've heard that rumor.
How about go to Bayern? Make that move. They'd welcome you with open arms and go to win something there. PSG maybe. But it just, in my opinion, the rumor around Man City from my perspective of his career doesn't make sense at all.
Let me give you a little devil's advocate, and I just found this out about 1 hour ago. I had a Spanish source, you could say, was telling me Man City, not just they have Guardiola from Barcelona, they do have some personnel in the Man City front office that came from Barcelona. So they have a lot of connections there. Plus this is another one. This is another little cherry on top. Aguero is the godfather for Messi's child.
Right.
They're really connected. And they were roommates back in like their teens or something. So there is some emotional tag, cuddle, good to Man City. And Man City could afford that contract if they got to pay out Barcelona. Okay, guys, let's start with the court cases. Here's like $1 billion. We'll get it. And
that's a very good point.
And if, of course, Man City is connected with New York City FC, there might be a clause where he could play there after, like, in 3 years. And Messi's like, man, playing in New York City ain't that bad. So that's my argument.
Yeah.
I think Man City is very strong. What do you think about that?
Yeah, all very good points. Another counter that I wanted to have, though, is think about the Premier League. Think about La Liga. Think about the Bundesliga. Think about Serie A. Think about the style of play
Okay.
that both of all of those leagues fit within, right? which of those leagues is the most physical, the most grinding, the most not pretty stylistically? You know, it's more of a grind. It's much, much more physical. To me, that's the Premier League.
Me too. Premier League's the fastest, the more physical, and not many breaks.
Physical, right? Exactly. If I'm Messi, I've played in La Liga my entire career. I'm now going to go put my 33-year-old body up against the most physical league in the world, possibly.
And also keep in context.
How am I going to hold up?
Yeah, and besides the top three guys, La Liga is, I hate to say it, but it's pretty easy. I mean, all you need to worry about is Atletico, Real Madrid, maybe Valencia. They have a good game. But other than that, the Premier League, like the first 15 or 14 or 13, it's pretty high-level soccer.
Exactly. And so then there's no guarantee that, because if you don't finish in the top four, you're not guaranteed Champions League placement. So, you know, just in my opinion, I feel like this is a legacy establishment for him. And to me, there's, and I understand the lineage with Pep and Sergio Aguero and the relationships with the front office guys from Barcelona that are with Man City, but
and MLS.
from a business decision, in my opinion, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Don't put his body through it. You know, if he wants to win now, his best chance is to stay put, give management a kick in the rear end, and get them to make some big changes and bring in some quality players so that this can continue.
One last thing.
Something to talk about further is they have a couple of guys coming back from loan, Coutinho being one of them, just True. Coming off a Champions League win with Bayern Munich, going back to Barcelona. You know, the big signee from Liverpool a few years ago. So, I'm calling a bluff here. I really am.
I like it. Keep going. No. You're right. I think you know, you present some good commentary, good arguments. And I could see that happening. Now I'm 50-50 on that. Now I'm thinking maybe not Man City, not like 90% chance here. Now we're talking about 50% chance. Of rain. Now, if he does leave Barcelona, that will automatically be Griezmann's team, right?
Yeah. When that transfer went through, that was one of the weirdest transfers I've ever seen. It really just didn't make sense. And you could see that through the whole season. It just wasn't a good fit, right? Like,
yeah.
Stylistically, his attitude towards it. And again, going back to the Messi situation, that was apparently something that he had a big play in saying that they didn't need him, him being Griezmann. But yeah, Griezmann then becomes the face of the franchise there. But if by some means Messi does end up leaving, with the deficit that they face from a monetary standpoint, with the aging core group of guys they have there, I don't want to say, you know, because soccer teams don't really rebuild, but I think Barcelona would need to go through some seriously drastic changes, mainly because this leadership team will be known forever as the leadership team that let Messi go. That would be their lineage forever. So I think there would be a lot of change of seats there. And the Barcelona team that we're most familiar with Messi and Piqué and Jordi Alba and all of these different name brand guys that they've had for so long wouldn't be the same team moving forward here.
Something to definitely look at, of course. There is some time, but the leagues will start in mid-September. So I'm for sure going to look forward to that. And, of course, we'll be following along on the Sportscast or go on the sportscast.net for the latest and greatest in soccer. There's a lot going on. James Rodriguez going to Everton. That's rumored. That's almost a done deal. So a lot of things going on. Havertz going to Chelsea. Nick, is that a good move?
Yeah. Well, I was going to talk about Thiago Thiago leaving Bayern.
Going to Liverpool. I don't mind that.
Going to Liverpool. The PSG man going to Chelsea as well.
Go ahead.
The right back from, God, you're slipping my name now.
From Bayer Leverkusen.
Yeah.
Wow. Which was a huge guess, but usually everything comes from Bayer Leverkusen, it feels like.
Yeah, exactly. So overall, Chelsea adding, right? And to me, they're the Russian owners ready to pull out the pocketbook and say, we need to go for it here. You know, since Conte left, It's been a while since they won the league themselves. Didn't have very much success in the Champions League this year, so really looking to go out and make big splashes with Timo Werner as well.
Something to definitely look at. Transfers, guys, in soccer is like trades in the NBA is as big as hyped. By the way, I've never found out who is your favorite Premier League club.
Yeah, great question. So, funny story. It's actually Norwich City, who
okay.
just bounced out of the.
Yeah, back to the Championship. They go back and forth a lot, don't they?
Yeah. So it actually goes back to a couple of my buddies in high school when we were playing soccer on the varsity team. We purely picked a team based on the colors and the players that we liked on the team. At that time, Norwich City was playing in the Premier League, and we all got Norwich City bumper stickers on our car. And so many people would ask us, you know, what is Norwich City? And we'd, you know, be happily obliged to tell them who they were. Always had a dream of going abroad and going to a game at Carrow Road in the Northwest Passages of England. Still the dream that's alive here today, but I would say Norwich City is our famous Premier League team.
Hey, pull through. I love their bird logo. They're green and yellow. They definitely stick to their colors. I remember that one championship final, which I think was one of my first playoff final that I watched, that Norwich defeated this other team. It could have been 1-0. I can't remember the score, but it was really exciting. And the fans were, like, you know, all explosive and everything. So it's just quite interesting that which I was telling this one guy about a couple of weeks ago. It was Rennie from ESPN. And I was telling him that the clubs and like the supporters are very similar to like college football here, over here. You know how like they're so dedicated no matter what happens.
Oh
they're
my gosh! Yeah,
more than like the NFL. I think in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely, and I 100% agree with you. I want to show you an example. You know, if you go to any NFL stadium, well, not this season, but in previous years, go to any NFL stadium. Have you ever just sat and looked around, looked to your left, looked to your right? People playing on their phones.
Yeah.
You know, there's a good amount of people paying attention, but some people just are there. Either they're completely inebriated, and that's why they're not paying attention, or they're you know, just not really focusing on the field of play, what's going on the field. And I think the NFL, that's something that they lack of in terms of gameplay and how fast it is, because you have commercial breaks, you have breaks in the action, you have, you know, the chains of downs and everything. So there's always a pause, right? And people lose their attention span very easily. Look at any Premier League game. It doesn't matter if it's Man United or a team like Norwich City, which is obviously not as well known. Every single fan in that stadium is 100% focused on what's going on the pitch. There's not any distractions. And that game that kicked off at, 6, 7 a.m., you know, across the – or 6, 7 a.m. 6, 7 p.m. across the pond, those fans have been up since 10 at the pubs, going at it all day, getting in one, getting real rowdy. They're singing, they're chanting the whole game. And then after the game's over, they go back to the pub, and they do it all over again.
All day affair.
So the dedication to these teams, and I think what the Premier League does that's really unique is it gives every team the opportunity for something to play for. So whether you're trying to avoid relegation, you're playing in the FA Cup, you're playing for the league final, or you know, in the table, you're always playing for something so that your fan base can't just throw in the towel and say, you know what, it's not our year this year. They always have something to cheer for. And I think that's something that the NFL could learn from in terms of maybe they want to do some type of in-league championship outside of the Super Bowl or obviously, you know, promotion.
NBA might do it, actually. NBA might do it.
I've heard rumors about the NBA trying to do something like that. And I think that's a great idea because it keeps organizations that are not doing so well, it keeps their fan bases engaged, and ultimately that's more revenue for every organization involved. So teams can't just throw the seasons away for higher draft picks. It gives them a reason to play.
Wow, that's a lot to go through, but I definitely want to do a podcast with Nick, talk about promotion, relegation, how much that will benefit in the States, but that's a whole different episode and a whole different debate. But yeah, the fanfare and the fan kingdom internationally, it's a little bit different, but in some parts of America, you can see it, especially in college football, and it's quite interesting. Anyways, we're going towards the end of the show. Anything else before we close?
So much going on right now with the NBA and the MLB and everything going on and, you know, outside of sports. So, I'm really excited to kind of dig into that right now and learn a little bit more about it. With that being said, everyone just be safe out there. And Santiago, thanks so much for having me on and really excited to connect here soon. You know, as things have progressed from the college football standpoint, I think things are looking pretty positive and I'm really feeling confident about a season here coming up in the next few weeks. So
yeah.
We'd love to connect with you and some of the other guys.
Yes, we'll definitely
here.
Have you and Trying Tyler come together. For SEC, I have not heard anything bad. ACC, the commissioner says he feels very uncomfortable with the medical group. So I think college football is definitely going to move forward, at least for the two leagues. I think Big 12, if I have to say one league that will probably bow out, will probably be Big 12, but they're just saying that, you know. But we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. And, of course, you can follow us at thesportscast.net or on thesportscast.net. Here is a random question I just made up right now. During the pandemic, did you prefer using Uber Eats or carry out?
So I am a Postmates guy. I'm a Postmates.
That's
guy.
A good substitute over Uber Eats. Why? Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I don't know. Like, I couldn't tell you why. I think Postmates was just like the first app that I kind of tried it with and had a really good experience. So that was my go-to through the pandemic for sure.
I use mostly Uber Eats for some reason. I'm not sure. Like Uber Eats has like that Walmart comfortable. Like I know I could go there and get a good deal or I know that my food will be delivered. And Postmates, I think I used it once or I used Grubhub. It really depends on where you're at. Some cities are bigger with Uber Eats, some with more Postmates. I guess with Austin, you probably have all of them here in Miami as well.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It feels like Uber Eats has been around longer. It feels like they'll give me a refund if something happens. But that's just my feel of it.
Yeah. Like Austin, we have a bunch of local same type of tech companies in the food delivery space. We have one called Favor. We have a couple of others that are more locally just towards Austin. So the options are literally unlimited. And so I would just say that Postmates was the one. Actually, and Postmates, aren't they being acquired? Didn't they just get acquired by Uber?
I think so. I was about to say that.
Yeah.
I think so. Which is good for Postmates.
That is Uber Eats. Postmates was my go-to.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, support your local restaurant if it's Uber Eats or if you just call them. I know that they take a big percentage, but, you know, it is what it is. But definitely support your local restaurants.
Yeah.
I know that
tip
a lot of things are getting a little bit more normal.
And
tip your waiters. Yes, guys, they really depended. I know things are kind of slowly coming back in this month. It feels a little bit normal, but we'll see how it goes in a few weeks. Soccer next month. And, of course, we got some NFL. A lot going on in September. Golf also this fall, so it's going to be a heavy fall, which is great for us. Anyways, Nick Rossetti, what is the best way for people to reach you to find out where's the best place to eat tacos in Austin?
Yeah, absolutely, and that is a great – I am the taco connoisseur here in Southwest Texas. Also barbecue.
Oh,
big-time
barbecue
here in Austin, Texas that is world-renowned. There's a place called Franklin's that you're going to wait at least a minimum of 4 hours every single day. There's a line wrapped around the building every single
day. Now, which is
day.
Better, like the barbecue in Texas or in Alabama?
That's a great question. So
on the spot.
I would say there, you cannot beat Alabama white sauce for barbecue.
Right. I've had it. It's good.
It's
yeah.
Undefeated.
Yeah.
Undefeated. However, I would say overall, the entire barbecue scene as a whole, there is no better barbecue scene in the world than Austin, Texas.
Interesting. I believe you. ATX.
Yeah. ATX. You can reach me at Twitter, @the_Rossetti, 2 S's, 2 T's. Don't forget it. And, same username actually on Instagram as well. My DMs are always open to have a conversation about sports, soccer, transfers, or pretty much anything. Those are kind of the best ways to reach me directly.
Nick Rossetti is one of the rare hybrids on the sportscast. We've got him and Ryan Chris that they can do multiple sports at the same time. Some people just stick with college football, which is fine. You can reach us at thesportscast1 on Twitter or at thesportscast.net. Tomorrow we have Marvin Constant, former Alabama player. That was before Nick was born. He played in the early 2000s, and we'll have a special announcement tomorrow. He's going to show us a book, and we have a new schedule for the sportscast coming soon for this fall. And Nick, you remember Marvin Constant. Maybe not.
Those are the early days, like Mike Shuler, Dennis Franchione.
You're right. Good history book there. There's no Alabama football history class in Alabama, I don't think.
That, you know what? If there were, I believe I could teach it. But again, I'm not. As I was told by my very my fraternity brothers from Mobile, Alabama, that I'll always be an outsider, regardless if I can tell them any simple fact about Alabama history over the last 50 years.
Hey,
that if I wasn't born there, I never will have it 100%.
And tell you what, Nick, you're perfect for the sportscast because there's a lot of Alabama fans that listen to us, which is a good thing, and for some LSU fans, a bad thing. Anyways, Nick Rossetti, what a good show. Great show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. And just one quick message to all those LSU fans out there. I do remember a quote from your coach after the game this year about beating our ass in recruiting beating us in recruiting this year. Just go ahead and take a quick look at the 24/7 to 2021 power rankings in recruiting going on right now. See who the number one spot is. Just go ahead and see that.
And look at it. Yes, it's looking good. Alabama's hitting strong early. And we'll have Nick with Tyler. Hopefully next week we'll schedule something because I know there's a lot of recruiting news. And I'd like to pick your guys' brains and see where you guys are at. He's actually an Oregon fan. He's not a huge Alabama fan. I want to forewarn you. But it's okay. We'll have fun. Anyways, Nick Rossetti, I'll have a good night.
Soon again. Thanks.